Steel Plaza. Please stand clear of the doors.
Steel Plaza Podcast 303 East Main Street, right here in Carnegie, with my friend Michael Averbach.
Hello, everyone.
There he is. There he is. He's back again to smoke and joke with us. As always, Rayanne Rose with us.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing greater.
Perfect.
No, it'll be a good show.
It is going to be a good show because here's why. In the last episode, we introduced you to a few characters created based on the documentary Inside the American Mob. And we created these characters from real-life people and events that we've encountered, and we thought it'd be fun to replicate the almost ridiculous, stereotypical nature of that show. So today we're going to start off with the story of one of the actual five families that we created, the Boyattis. And we're going to kick it off with Ray Ray Boyatti.
It was 1957, and I was 12. They said it was the largest funeral Pittsburgh had ever seen. There were thousands of mourners. The pallbearers were men I had known. Gus, Slopmouth Greenberg, whose throat would later be slashed in the Hill District, but Willie, Ice Cream's alderman, who would die on Devil Island while serving time on a mob extortion rat. Joe Rosenbergstein, one of my father's partners, who was known as his mouthpiece. And then there was Nick the P.P. Greek, the famed odds maker. Well, squatting Jewish men surrounded Uncle Lucky Chucky and me at the funeral, saying, "We don't expect trouble." So that's when I started seeing clues that my family wasn't quite normal.
Ray Ray Boyatti's father was Billy Boyatti, a Jewish gangster who was one of the founders of modern Pittsburgh, Frank Don't Call Me Francis Costello, and Bubsy Schmeagle.
My father was the son of a Russian immigrant rabbinical student. He built his own gambling empire when he was just 16 and went to become a bootlegger and a bank robber, whose face appeared on dozens of wanted posters. I even saw him once on a milk carton. I don't know how that happened, but I didn't ask no questions. He was the brazen son of a bitch kid who engineered one of the first kidnaps for ransom, escaped death in a Mellon Park shootout, and was described by a detective on the front page of the Post-Gazette as the toughest Jew I ever met.
This is an excerpt from Ray Ray Boyatti, her memoir, Paws the Street. It's a book filled with scenes of this odd collusion of worlds. Her father's world, she writes, was dangerous and violent and severe, but he crafted a childhood that seemed to her at this time to be completely normal. She had no idea about his criminal ties, but she became a powerful and eventually reared a son who became household name, Joseph Boyatti.
My mother told me we had no house key because she said, "Somebody's always home. Mob members never carry keys. Because if I was kidnapped, if they was kidnapped, a rival gang could get to the families." My mother was a store. She didn't gamble, she didn't drink, she didn't smoke. She told me she didn't like to stay in small rooms for a long time because she felt confined. I later learned that she had served 7 years in Sing Sing, 4 in solitary confinement on a 12-year sentence. I thought we had no checking account because she said everybody knows us, you know, we just use cash. Mob members prefer to keep cash boxes and few visible assets. She would show up unannounced at my dad's house in Beachview once a month for her pay-as-you-eat Shabbos dinner. Around 2 p.m. on a Friday, Chucky would pound on the front door yelling, "Davey, Lou, Ray Ray, let me in, hurry up." Of course, my mother was never home from the hotel in the afternoon. She'd act as if she would have been. She'd run all over the house looking for him and then go right into the kitchen and sneer, "So where's Chucky, working again?" Now without waiting for an answer, she'd throw down a shawl, start unpacking 2 huge needlepoint bags full of shit. She was in a frenzy, her blonde hair would be standing up in wisps as it came out of her bun. Well, she was short, she was stout, she smelled like a wet dog and corn flour. Now as soon as she washed the carrots for the matzo ball soup, she yelled at her bodyguard, "Lou, come down and chop these carrots into little pieces before I make the shits on your face again." Now Lou, he would dutifully go down to the kitchen. She took an egg beater from her purse, which was fucking weird to begin with, and started making matzo balls and swearing and washing the chickens.
Joey found out about his family's business when he was 14 by accident. He was passing a candy store and he saw photos of his mother on the front page of a newspaper called the Yiddish Quiddish. He couldn't believe it.
And I said, no, my mother, my uncles, my names. So I asked my father. He said, that's your mother's business. So I'm a mafia son. Well, here I go. And I went. I started to rebel. I ran away. I went to the Pocono Mountains to find my grandmother. And I hitchhiked all the way there with two friends of mine. But we never made it to the house. I got tired, and the two other guys I was with, they was tired too. And then my mother found me near a farmhouse. My mother broke into that farmhouse to get something to eat and rest. She found a shotgun, I found bullets, shells for the shotgun. She then proceeded to shoot the place up.
So where it came from, I don't know, this fury. It was festering in me. We got away with it because I paid $1,500 for repairs. In those days, that was a lot of money. And I didn't spank Joey or nothing. I just said, you know, you shouldn't do things like that. You know, but I did. But I want the best for my son. But I don't want him shooting up farmhouses just like me.
And all this festered inside of me. So I decided I wasn't going to be called Ray Ray Boyardi's son no more. I was going to make my own reputation to be a chef. The chef, Chef Boyardi. And I wanted to sound more American, you know? I looked older than what I was at the time, and I would be drinking in any bar I could get into with my friends, so I had an idea.
My son at the time decided, as we were cooking pastas one night, mind you, I made excellent spaghettis. I used to encourage all the members of our clan to eat over my house, Mrs. Biotti's house. That way, I knew no one was going to get whacked on account of the most mob deaths occur when they go out to eat. Why not eat in? It prevents death. I don't want to see any of my boys with a gunshot wound to the fucking skull and their faces landing up a plate of spaghettis and then plastered all over the news and papers. They love that shit. We hated those sick bastards. Those sick bastards. You know, then my son Joey came to me and told me he wanted his face on the cans because I brought him with me too much. You know, he saw too many dead mobsters with his face in spaghettis. And we could sell the cans. I said, does it allow my boys to eat in? He said, yes, fill the cans, Ma. So I filled the fucking cans for my son Joey, anything for Joey. Mind you, I never gave him the recipe, and I swear those aren't my meatballs. They got processed and bought out by some Chinaman in the strip district, but fuck it, right? You know, money's money. You know, Chinaman making meatballs in a China pan, who cared at that point, you know?
Until next time on Inside the American Mob Pittsburgh.
I'm moving out.
Steel Plaza Podcast, 303 East Main Street, right here in lovely downtown Carnegie. And that was a little excerpt from our, I guess you could say, ongoing series of Inside the American Mob Pittsburgh with all the characters we created. We hope you enjoyed it. There's going to be more of it.
Yeah, we had so much fun creating that. So look for us in the next episode to see what happens next.
That's right. And we have a special treat for you in this segment of The Big Shoe, don't we, Michael?
Yes, we do.
Thanks for being a yes man. Isaac Haliva is with us, and he is with Pittsburgh Normal. That's Pittsburgh spelled like Pittsburgh, and then NORML.org with the Cannabis Reform in PA. Also of Premier Spirits, which is Click Vodka, Cosmopolitan Diva, and Country Hammer Moonshine. And he also has his friend Dangle along with him, who is a fire performer with the Pittsburgh Circus Arts Collaborative. Dangle, how are you doing, man?
Doing all right.
All right, great. So tell us about how you got into this and what's moving forward here.
Well, my main company, Faded Industry Entertainment, started 10, 12 years ago. I'm not even sure when specifically right now, but me and a couple of friends that were in a band called Loco Phylum, they were starting to get pretty big regionally, and we actually created the entertainment company to sort of back up the band. That way, when we went to, you know, book the shows or try to do anything management-wise, we had an entertainment company that was backing this band already, so it didn't just look like the band that was coming. And then we started booking our own shows, and then some nightclub promoters and owners started coming to us saying, can you guys help fill some bodies in the rooms? And we could, so we did for over the years, and then we started putting our own events together, and we were notorious for really good annual events that were over the top. We've done an annual event called Mask, which is like a masquerade that gets pretty wild.
That's awesome. I love this.
The Meter Room, and which is our friend John Ross' place down in Crafton, and he moved it around. Mask was a good party. We also did Faded Fest, which was just all sorts of genres of music under one roof. We used to do it down at Station Square, like where Bar Room was and things like that, but that's all closed now, so I haven't done that. But at our max at Faded Fest, we had done 100 acts in one day.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Seven stages. It was something else.
That's a lot of spinning plates, man.
Yeah.
We've done that before, and it was a fucking disaster.
We don't spin plates. The circus guys spin some plates, but we don't spin any plates.
For sure. So do you have a venue now, or are you just...
I actually took a warehouse space on in down in McKees Rocks, and we were using it as a video production and, you know, multi-use space of sorts, and we had done some private parties and private events like that, but the township has now given us some grief on that, so I think we're shutting the doors down there.
Sound ordinance or whatever?
No, nothing like that. Just ordinances in general. They're even though we're doing these as private parties, they're trying to tell us that we're still operating illegally.
Oh, the LCB.
No, we don't sell any liquor. That's something we would never do at an event like that. That's, you know, completely frowned upon and illegal.
Yeah.
You know, what we did was just had private parties and just like throwing a house party.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No different, really.
But like in a building.
I don't want to fight City Hall. You know, if we're trying to do some progressive things for Stowe Township, and if they're not really interested in having it, then unfortunately I'm not really willing to hang out and fight for it, you know.
There's just like a half mile up the road you could do Coriopolis or Moon Township.
Yeah, possibly. You know? Pine Island, Florida's looking pretty good to me too right now. So the studio is called Island Underground, so, you know, to move it to another island actually would be
Neville
just
Island.
Kind of, yeah, yeah, well.
It's right there.
Right. We'll see what happens in that saga. But, no, the entertainment thing's been treating me good over the years, and I've worked with tons and tons of bands over the years, and it's been really awesome to see them grow, progress, and like the acts that are still out there, like Commonwealth Family and Sykes, and just some guys like that have worked with us for years and years, and they're still doing their thing, and it's like great to see them growing up, and their music gets better and better.
Yes.
You guys do a lot of music stuff here, I guess, obviously.
We do.
I was looking at the pamphlet out
yes.
front.
We do a lot of recordings for bands here and stuff like that. My band, The Wire Riots, I don't know why, but something happened, and now, like, we're almost the house band for Club Cafe. Whenever, like, a band's in town, they're like, hey, can you come play the show? And we're like, well, when is it? Oh, it's tomorrow. It's at 6:30. It's an early show. And you're like, I'm at work. I don't even have, you know, anything.
Right. So, yeah. Well, every once in a while, you got to get the last minute show in. I know I have to reach out to artists if we get a cancellation or something. Like, hey, you want to play a show? When? Maybe right now? I don't know. Come on over. Hang out. Yeah, bring a drum or something.
Yeah, it's tough for us to do because I have, like, Michael and I are in the military, so we have weird schedules, you know, when it comes to that. Did you already do your 2 weeks?
No, I'm not going there. I did 2 weeks in November of 2016.
Oh, I thought you were going AWOL.
No.
I'm not going.
No, the Pennsylvania said, no, you will not do two weeks of military duty in the same fiscal year. I did 2 weeks of November at Fort Town Gap. It's about 20 miles east of Harrisburg.
Yeah.
And so I did that, and the fiscal year is September to October. Well, October to September.
Did they talk to you like
October,
a baby?
October to September.
They talk to you like a baby?
Well, I was 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, for 2 weeks of sitting on your chair doing nothing.
Nice.
And so...
That's the military today, huh? That's what we got going on.
And so late July to middle August of this year, I'm now ineligible to go because they're not going to pay me to do two weeks of military duty.
Well, who are they going to yell at then if you're not there?
They'll yell at the E3s and E4s.
I guess so.
Because, I've had the fair share of getting yelled at even though I'm an E5.
Yeah,
and
same here.
And
did I tell you I'm about to be an E6? Did I tell you that?
You did not tell me that.
I am. I'm holding an E6 slot, so...
What branch of the military are you guys both in?
We're in the Army National Guard.
National Guard?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you said 2 weeks, I figured that's what it might have been. I didn't want to assume.
Well, sometimes it's weird because we have these things called MUTA 6s and 8s where it's like not 2 weeks. Sometimes it's like 4 days in a row in the middle of the week sometimes, like just because it's fucking, like the state has money, you guys go do something. Go stand by the road in, like, March.
Sit in a chair for 2 weeks, hang out.
We had a mild winter this year, too, so it's not like you weren't called away to do any kind of snow removal.
No, we had to do that so many times. Remember the snowstorms?
Yeah.
That was a pain in the fucking ass,
so they calling you guys for the extra snow.
I was not called that. Adam may have been called.
Twice.
No.
They called me twice.
They asked for volunteers. I said, I'm not volunteering.
I was voluntold.
No.
I was not.
Voluntold?
Yes.
If you call me, then I'll go. I mean, I'm not going to just say, I want to do snow removal. That's 12 hours.
It's government snow removal, though, so it's got to be, like, heavy equipment and stuff. It's not like you're out there with a shovel or
No. We had to, like, assist the paramedics because all the, what are they called, ambulance? I don't know.
Ambulances?
They don't have four-wheel drive.
EMTs.
The EMTs, they don't have four-wheel drive, so we had to drive them in our Humvees, like, all throughout Mount Washington and South Side to, like, get these people out of their houses. And these EMTs, they were so out of shape. The one guy looked like, did you see the Mucinex commercial, that little glob?
Yeah,
he looked like that. And he couldn't even get up the stairs to, like, help this lady out of her house.
How do we get some rides in some of these Humvees? I got some ladies we can call. Go up cruise Mount Washington. Like, that'd be kind of fun.
That would be cool. We'll look into it. We'll get back to you. That's a good idea, though, right?
Well, it is.
Yeah.
Humvee rides.
Let me tell you, they were loud as fuck, though.
Yeah.
Oh, you get in and you already have 40% hearing loss, so you have to have, like...
Oh, wow. So they just don't have them insulated or anything. They're, like, raw inside.
There
is that what the problem is?
They're raw, and they stink. They're not designed for comfort.
It stinks outside today, too. What's going on with that?
The sewer is coming out of the ground.
Man, I don't remember Carnegie smelling like this. I mean, after a flood, I grew up right in Bridgeville, so we had flooding on the Chargers. I've experienced it forever. But, it was wild. It's not a good smell down at Carnegie today.
It is not. It's unpleasant at best.
For sure.
Dangle, brother, tell us about the fire stuff, man.
I was just going to ask you if you could get a flamethrower.
Yeah, he asked me about building one this morning. I have a funny
easy to build.
Yeah, I just want to do like little Coleman containers, like on a belt. So I just run around with a flamethrower and just the little containers, real mobile. Dance around on stage.
That would be cool.
Breathe fire off a flamethrower.
How long have you been doing it?
I started playing around with it a while ago. It's been over probably 20 years. just got out of it for a while and then got back into sideshow stuff, more of a being on stage role than helping and building things. Started swinging flaming sledgehammers from my penis.
Like the Jim Rose Circus. Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah, I do. I remember the very first Lollapalooza.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But yeah, I performed in Pittsburgh a lot and took it on the road at some point, and someone talked me into putting fire in my face and spitting it out of my face again, and I did it. And I just stayed with it. And we needed to build a circus around an idea. And a bunch of people got together, and we got people from other groups and other professional circus arts people in Pittsburgh and put them all together for the Pittsburgh Circus Arts Collaborative. There's a little over 20 people doing various different circus things, from acrobatics to aerials to fire to
juggling,
stilts, magic,
yep,
stilts,
all sorts of stuff. There,
really everything combined.
It's an eclectic group.
That's awesome.
Let me say that. It's an eclectic group.
We combined acrobatics with fire and with stilts and with aerial stuff. And yeah, we've just put it all together. It's a lot of combination things. We are adding more of a storyline to our next show. It's going to be at Nelson's Ledges in Ohio for Classic Fest. And it's more of like a narrative of the tarot, if you will. They just all the different cards, and everybody has their own part in it, and it all kind of just
that sounds
together.
Like something I would go to see.
And there's live fire.
That's awesome.
There's always live fire. If I'm involved, there's usually live fire. A lot of places don't let me perform indoor.
Well, now is like the perfect time because Barnum and Bailey just closed their doors. You know what I mean?
I was thinking about that.
That was
yeah.
just Feld being a horrible management company.
Really?
Is that what happened?
It wasn't, yeah. I mean, you know, when you cut back on employees and pay, people do less, and then other things happen. They lost the animals because... And all the animal rights people were just waiting around for someone to slip up, and they got pictures, and they shut down that part, and then the show got cut, and then different things happen. And as it, you know, falls apart, then you have a bunch of people that are then unemployed. But the crazy thing is that all of those people that are unemployed are still talented people. So now you have a lot of other upstarts coming up, and people that were doing other stuff are now forming smaller groups and being more professional in just acrobatics, or just more professional in fire or in animal training or whatever. And so you have those smaller circuses that are popping up, and then the smaller circuses are now able to do bigger venues.
And that's cool, because like
shows.
Now it's like almost like a renaissance back to like the traveling, you know.
It's definitely like the golden age of circus at this point.
Yeah, it is, because there's
like
nothing out
too.
There.
You know, you see all these once again, I'll say eclectic people that are all talented in their own little way, and when they get together, you know, they're making new friendships and making really 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 good like shows and things that people enjoy it. They love it, you know.
Yeah.
The events and things like that, they just do really well. Their brand of style of their performances is just very unique to each individual character. They got costumes and everything working on, and it's starting to come together pretty well for them.
I'm like really excited about that whole Taylor show.
We have a lot of other things we do too. We do have a blacklight circus that deals with LED props. Chances are there could be nudity in that. There's like more of a benefit circus, like a daytime benefit circus that's for kids, you know, balloon animals, that kind of stuff. But we also have like a Dirty Romani style circus with burlesque and nudity, and you'd see my act there, and maybe some stripping and
the penis hammer.
Yeah, some, you know, yeah, there'll be some nudity at that one. We also do a La Hora Loca show, which is the circus performers with kind of like a samba band and dancers and people on stilts in the same costumes, and just kind of like a Mardi Gras, more kind of Mardi Gras feel too. So yeah, we offer a bunch of different packages. It's all through Modern Era Weddings as the show promoters, and basically they have then kind of cornered the market on being an entertainment backing company, like probably one of the only ones in Pittsburgh really for circus and sideshow and everything. because there was never one like that before. So there's contracts and people were actually making the money. Like I make $200 to $300 an hour when I perform.
That's awesome. So do you have to do that 1099 form or whatever?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely I pay taxes on it. But here's the other thing though. I mean, benefit shows, benefit stuff. We do a lot of benefit stuff for kids and we do a lot of benefit stuff for different organizations. So we'll end up writing that off, you know, and then we do have those write-offs also. Because we gave our time, so I gave an hour. I now have that write off. I mean, it's legal and it's
better than sitting behind a desk for some people.
Yeah. Right? Yes.
We have to figure that out. Michael actually works for the IRS, so right. I've been trying to pick his brain. Is there a way out of the 1099 form?
No.
No. Simple answer.
No, I mean, there's ways to write it off. Yes, except there's no way of saying you didn't get the money.
What do you have to do? Like have receipts for everything you do or what?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, you have to have receipts. If when you get audited, you have to show that you were at a certain destination or you had gas expense or you used whatever purposes you had to get to that destination, then it could be written off.
I mean, since you're there, can you just accidentally press delete on my profile, you know? Since you're right there.
I do not have the power to do that.
Like, oh.
Right?
Whoops.
Get that one lost in the mix there, right?
That would be perfect.
Now, if the company doesn't report your income to the IRS, then that's up to you if you choose to put that on your tax return.
So if they don't report it, you're good to go.
Yes, multiple times.
Yeah, we do everything by the book, though. We really
that's
do because
the safest
they
way.
The company has so many people that are
well. This is
our
mafia
for them,
episode,
and,
so
and you know, under there's their other businesses under their roof, like print shops and production companies and video production companies and stuff. Because the wedding company runs all of that, so we do everything from the entertainment all the way across the entertainment stuff. So there's so many other people that are all trying to do the same thing, and they're trying to make a buck and do it the right way so that they can buy their houses and their cars and do all that kind of stuff. So everybody's really, you know, for once, it's, you know, a lot of circus performers didn't get gigs because they were trying to ask for too much. They didn't have insurance. They didn't have all of those things behind them and weren't on the up and up. So people were like, well, I'm not paying that much for that. You can get $50. And so then somebody would do something for $50 that was highly dangerous and could hurt them. And we were barely making any money. And a lot of people fell off. And when I first came to some people about the idea of it, they were like, fuck you. There's no way. You know, we're not getting involved in that. There's no money in that. Well, with social media and everything now, and just the way that the backing is and the way that there are so many people involved now, and everybody's really positive, and everybody plays a role in our circus. Everybody has, whether it's making a poll and sending it to each other so we can decide on something, or it's actually going out there and getting a grant or something like that so that we can teach kids how to juggle or something.
That's cool.
Impoverished communities or wherever. You know, we're just we're trying to get it out there that we're doing this here, and this is a building year. You know, we didn't expect, we're 8 months old at this point. We didn't expect to be this far at this point, and we're making waves. There's people that are, you know, in any business when, you know, like, you know, McDonald's and Burger King were there and Wendy's popped up and they were like, whoa, this is scary. There's somebody else on the block. I mean, there's a lot of circus performers and there's a lot of people that were very apprehensive about us just doing this. And there were a lot of people that didn't think that there were people that were talented, and they couldn't. Well, the thing is we put it all together without animals, without a big top. We're mobile. We can do human statues and mimes, and we have people that can do things, and we can put people in place. So we get odd requests for things, and we're just doing it. We're people that are they're very aware that we're out there, and yeah.
A lot of hustling friends that I have. I mean, like, we're movers and shakers. The guys at Modern Era, Mike and TJ that run that, they're killing it right now. They have, like, cornered the wedding market in Pittsburgh for the most part. I mean, there's some other ones out there, but these guys have a huge network of DJs and equipment, anything you might need. So for them to bring on the circus was just, hey, if your wedding wants a fire breather, we have that too now.
That's awesome. So. You know what I mean? Because like nobody has that. You know, so like people go, oh, let's go to whatever, you know, North Carolina, get married on the beach. Fuck that. I want a guy like jumping on the table, swinging a hammer with his dick. That's what I want.
I mean, I was giving a blood test at a doctor's office and just to get a routine checkup, and the woman was like, "Oh, what do you do?" And I told her I'd swing flaming sledgehammers from my penis, and she was like, "Hey, Susan, you have any entertainment for your bachelorette party? I think I found it." And Susan like popped her head up. What's going on? And they all came over, and they all got gloves on and needles in their hands and stuff, and they're watching a video of me.
That's awesome.
Dude, this guy will tell you some stories too. I tell you, he's got them all. Like I always say, like if you meet him and he doesn't tell you about his dick within the first 2 minutes, he's probably like out of it or had a couple too many cocktails or something, because that's one of the first couple lines that comes out of me. He's like, "Hey, what's up? I'm Dangle."
Awesome.
This is a story of my dick.
Is there anything on YouTube about either of you?
Faded has all kinds of old videos, some, you know, some of our events that YouTube probably wouldn't allow his videos per se, unless they were private.
Pornhub.
Pornhub might be a good place to put that one. I would think so.
All right, we'll sort out the porn videos right after this, and we're going to talk about more circus stuff, more dick swinging, more tax evasion, and vodka right back after this.
Ever heard of a podcast? People listen to them, they subscribe to them, and they love them. And as a business, doesn't that sound like something you'd want to be a part of? Well, now you can when you advertise on the Steel Plaza Podcast. Imagine you have a team of creative, technical people at your disposal and a killer podcast just to spread the word about your business. Getting the old business into a new media is not for the faint of heart. But it can happen with the help of the Steel Plaza Podcast. Get a free estimate by emailing us at steelplazapodcast@gmail.com today.
Steel Plaza Podcast 303 East Main Street, right back here in Carnegie with Michael Averbach, friend of mine. Doesn't really do much. Works for the art. No, just kidding. He's just here to say yes and smile for me, right? No?
That is right. I'm here to say yes and smile.
Now, Rayanne Rose from Rayanne's Clothier and Goods, pghcng.com, is here.
I'm here, and I'm excited to be here.
You're excited to be
here? I am.
All right. And then our friends from Faded Industry Entertainment, Isaac Haliva, is here with us, and his friend Dangle.
Dangle's still here.
Still
you guys
here.
Got to see the video just while we were on the break.
We did.
We did.
He swung that thing around and looped
it. It was impressive.
It's impressive. Very impressive. That's for sure. He lifts, you know, like cinder blocks and stuff. He's good to keep around in case you need an extra set of hands and you don't have them.
Yeah. Next time I want to, you know, steal from the graveyard, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, come here and lift this.
Yeah,
I'm busy. So what? You're good.
Yeah. So let's talk about these vodkas. Is it just vodka?
No. Premier Spirits is another company that I'm involved with, and we started off with Click Vodka, which you may or may not have heard of. It's a black bottle. It's imported from Latvia, but we maintain the brand and things like that here. And since Click Vodka, now we're starting to work with this other sparkling wine. It's called Cosmopolitan Diva. It's in a nice pink bottle. It's filtered through gold. It's pretty fancy. Mm-hmm. It's inexpensive. It's like $8.99 a bottle. And Pennsylvania sold, I don't know the actual number, but over 25,000 bottles of it in just 2 months.
Whoa.
So the company that we're working with on this, we're actually trying to get them to give us the exclusive distribution rights for the entire U.S., so we're hoping that's going to be good. It's got like a nice peachy flavor to it. The women really love it because of the packaging, and it's, you know, it is tasty. There's a melon flavor, which isn't in PA, just the regular sparkling. And then locally, the Country Hammer is a moonshine. We provide him the raw spirits that he makes this moonshine out of, so he's not like stilling it with a copper still anywhere. Mm-hmm. He's taking raw high proof spirit, and he's then reducing things down with infusions and sugars and other flavorings and whatnot to make his line of, I don't know even know what the number is, 30 some flavors of moonshine he has.
Wow.
but we're working with them as far as marketing.
Samples.
You know what? I almost brought some. I almost brought some orange juice and a bottle of Cosmopolitan Diva too, just so we could have some mimosas while we were sitting here too. But I don't know, party foul on my part, I guess. My bad. But we'll do it again.
But yeah, absolutely. Which one of these is gonna fuck me up the fastest? The moonshine.
Well, yeah, I mean, it depends. The Diva is very low proof. It's like a, you know, sparkling wine. The vodka is 80 proof. It's you know, filtered a bunch of times. It's very, very tasty vodka.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've ever done a blind vodka taste test, it's pretty interesting because...
I've done that by accident.
So many...
I drank too much vodka and I just went blind, so...
Yeah. Jesus, that's a little different there.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of.
But we sat by my dad's pool when we first got into... the vodka thing, and we bought like $400 worth of different vodkas, and we were just pouring them into different glasses, having people taste them, and literally there were only a couple that stood out as having any kind of unique flavor. Everything was pretty much the same, and you would taste like a $60 bottle of vodka, and then you taste like a $12 bottle of vodka, and they were almost identical in taste.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. We've had some pretty good luck with taste tests against like Grey Goose and FN, some really high quality vodkas.
Well, like Grey Goose and stuff like that, it's just the packaging, you know what I mean?
The marketing, yeah.
That's all.
Marketing
it is.
Company, I mean, you know, those guys are putting millions and millions of dollars into marketing that product.
Right.
Is Click a Pittsburgh originate in Pittsburgh?
Yeah,
there?
Well, the owner of Premier, his name is Noah, he is from Ohio. He's from Youngstown area, so I believe that on the bottle it says Hubbard or Youngstown, Ohio, but the company has been in Pittsburgh pretty much ever since inception, aside of that. We have done events for Click over the years. We've done a bunch of charities. We work with Cystic Fibrosis, donate a lot of product to them for their fundraising efforts every year. It's been a fun ride to do the vodka, you know, with the events. It's always something different. I work with a great team of mixologists. We're now filming a cocktail show too with my friend Steve. He's also known as the Cocktail Chef, and he's been doing classes and things like that in Atlanta and Pittsburgh for a dozen plus years.
I want to watch
probably
that
even
show.
Longer.
I want to watch that.
Yeah, you can check out that camera too. I was telling you guys about on the one episode,
yeah.
Of the Cocktail Chef right on his Facebook page. But we've been working with our products and other local products. Next week with his show, we're going to be down at Liberty Pole Spirits in Washington, PA. We're gonna film right on site there. Check out some whiskey being made right on site. It's
Ooh,
cool.
I like
it's
that.
Cool. With the spirits, we're just trying to do, you know, marketing and branding assistance for a lot of these companies, and you know, if we get involved with them, if we can strike some kind of a deal with them, well, obviously we will, but for the most part we're marketing and consulting a lot of these different spirit companies.
That's awesome. What's Michael, what's your favorite drink?
Beer is the best for me.
What kind of beer? I mean, you can't just say beer. And
oh, right. You are correct. I like Red Stripe from Jamaica.
You know, it's made in Latrobe now.
I didn't know that.
Yes. If you look at your latest Red Stripe bottle, you will see Latrobe. They're actually made. They're made where Rolling Rock was produced, but now it's I forget the name of the distributor now, but yeah. So Red Stripe is not produced. Well, they still make it in Jamaica, obviously, yes. But locally you're getting it from Latrobe.
I mean, that's like Coca-Cola's. Sometimes made in Mexico, you know, and like
that's the good, yeah,
yes,
that's the good stuff
type.
With
yeah.
the real sugar and everything, yes. Like that.
So it's like if you get a Coca-Cola bottle, you know, we were talking about that. Anything you get from a dollar store, mm-hmm. Like if you go to a dollar store and get medicine, it's unregulated because that medicine and shit from dollar stores comes from anywhere, like Japan and shit, you know what I mean? So if you look at the ingredients, you're like, ooh, look at that.
Right.
You can't get that at a fucking Shop and Save, you know?
For sure.
I don't know. That just made me think of that. But anyway, that was, I don't know.
My favorite drink is actually 90 Minute Dogfish.
Tiny Wines.
I like
IPA?
Tiny.
You like an IPA?
Yes, good
love
IPA.
I love an IPA.
Yes.
For sure. That's another thing, too. The now that... there's a lot of these limited licenses now. There's smaller breweries, wineries, and distilleries popping up all over the place. And with the Act 39 that happened last year in Pennsylvania, there's a lot more opportunities for these small local brands to do more things. For instance, Country Hammer Moonshine is able to sell at farmers markets because it is a Pennsylvania manufactured product. So they get a special permit, and they're able to go to farmers markets and sell their products, sample their products right there. So you'll start to see a lot more breweries, wineries, distilleries markets and things like that.
I remember when that all came down, and Tom Wolfe just fucking went crazy. He's like, I want everybody drunk at all times, Tom Wolfe. He hates smoking, but he wants you drunk.
Tom Wolfe wanted to have that drunk. open container law. He had changed.
Yeah, he wanted to change that so you could just walk around with a cruise around with a beer in your hand.
I mean, I think there's a place and a time for that. I mean, I think about Carson Street. I mean, don't you think it would be a lot more controlled if they shut down a portion of it and let people do that, almost like Bourbon Street?
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
If you're not, what is the old saying? If you can't beat them, join them, I guess. Yeah. Embrace it. Embrace the culture and make it worthwhile. But I guess the problem is there's so many staple people that have been there that don't want that,
Yeah, and then he doesn't want you smoking cigarettes in any building. He's trying to fucking push that. And I was like, come on, dude. Mm. I was like, you're gonna...
And to combat that, they jacked the price up to $10 a pack to get you to quit. But now the state's just making more money off it.
Yeah.
Because you can get that same pack of cigarettes for $2 or something in Vegas.
Yeah. Or Tennessee. Yep. It's so stupid. I hate that. Anyway, if I didn't smoke, I wouldn't care. But so it's kind of ridiculous. Smoking. Speaking of smoking, can we talk a little bit about cannabis reform?
Definitely. Wolf actually also was a proponent for the medical legalization that we do have in Pennsylvania now. You're not really seeing anything. Actually, the awards are coming out now. They're starting to let people know who won the awards and gets to open the grow facilities and the dispensaries. But unfortunately, Wolf is not for full legalization yet in PA. And you want to talk about generating some revenue. I mean, you look and see what Oregon's doing, Colorado's doing, the money they're making. You're talking a good amount of millions of dollars that are going to schools, roads, and things like that. And, when I first started with Pittsburgh Normal, I mean, I'm a volunteer. I'm a 6-year just a volunteer for Pittsburgh Normal, but I do, as much as I possibly can for the organization because I was an event person. And when I first went to their events, they were subpar to say the least. So I said, well, let me come on board to help you guys and throw some better events and get the word out, social media, etc. Started working with Normal, and I was an advocate for things in general, but to then learn about patients, veterans that actually really rely on this medicine, it's medicine to them, and it's medicine for a lot of people. It's there's a natural endocannabinoid system in every one of our bodies that relates to this plant. And that's why it is so effective for all these types of diseases and treatments, et cetera. So, we do have that. Pittsburgh has got the decriminalization now, which means that you can have up to a certain amount of product on you.
Right.
And you just get a summary fine. You don't have to go get fingerprinted anymore. Our executive director, Patrick, was actually really instrumental in helping to get that done. Our friend Les at Keystone Cannabis Coalition, too, has been very instrumental in getting these things done. So the network of people that we found too that is supporting of this, it's now 88 to 90% of Pennsylvanians support some form of legalization, whether it be just pure medical or recreational in general. So 6 years ago it was still kind of taboo. Now it's less. It's easier to communicate with it with people. People are more open and willing to accept the fact that it should be. I mean, think about, we talked about alcohol earlier too. I mean, think about Prohibition 100 years ago where it was. Mm-hmm. It's the exact same thing. It's no different. It's no different at all. So,
and speaking from the military perspective, and I know that you got this speech. Okay, it's legal now, but you still can't smoke weed. Why?
It was the same way when I was active duty Army. I'm just in the National Guard now. and I was stationed in Germany for 6 years, if you dare mention, I'm going to go to Amsterdam for the weekend, you're going to have a piss test that Monday or that Tuesday. So you never, I did go to Amsterdam, not for the marijuana purposes.
But for the women.
Oh, of course.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I was a participant. And so when I got into the bar in Amsterdam, I was offered free marijuana. I said, I can't smoke that.
Free marijuana?
Yes. They knew what.
Instead of a bowl of peanuts, they're like, it's just.
Well, I said, okay, I like I like a Duvel beer. And for those beer drinkers, that's made in Holland. Or Belgium. Duvel's made in Belgium. It's a very good beer if you never had Duvel. And so I said, I'll take a Duvel beer. And they said, but you want some marijuana? I said, no, I can't. And they looked at me like I was stupid. I said, I'm in the Army. I can't have a piss test.
What are you doing in Amsterdam? Did you not get the memo?
Amsterdam is no big deal for marijuana usage. In the United States, it's, oh, no, you got marijuana.
Well, let's talk about veterans and things like that, too, with marijuana. I mean, like, a lot of veterans choose marijuana over opiates because they don't want to be addicted. They're way less harmful. And they're not getting the support. Luckily, we're making some headway with veterans and being able to get them the medicine that they would choose to have in their own bodies.
Well, not us yet. Not my unit.
Not my unit.
Told us 100 times and made us sign a piece of paper.
I don't mean active duty, obviously. I mean, there's
well, it should be available for us, too, you know?
Well, I mean, especially if it's legal in the state that you're from.
Yeah.
You know? No, I mean, that should be your choice, is what it comes down to. You're a human being. It's a non-harmful, God-given plant that grows from the ground.
And there are different strains that do different things. There are different strains that make you more alert and more aware. And there are ones that put you to sleep when you're really tired or you've had a traumatic experience. So it's really dependent upon the strain as to what it does to the person. Some people get affected differently by different things because of chemical imbalances in their bodies.
Right.
So that would be something that they would have to test every single person to let you use a specific strain to know that you would be still aware and able to do your job as a military personnel.
Right.
That they wouldn't be able to test everybody. Okay, you smoke this kind of weed and see what it does to you.
Yeah. It's a controlled environment. That's like how they used to do in the 60s with LSD testing on the military. Did you ever see those like documentaries? And they had like soldiers marching in a row, and then they gave everybody LSD, and they were just walking
tripping, twirling. They were twirling.
So,
batons and things like that. They were like spinning some fire.
Bring that back. Like, let us test it, man. Come on.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, well, that's happening on the underground still, no matter what. I mean, you're never gonna get rid of that in the culture. But I mean, the war on drugs has been a failed war since its inception, and you know, like I said, it's time we embrace what is actually a positive thing for us here. So PittsburghNormal.org, you know, fantastic organization, all nonprofit and all volunteer based, and. You know, we're very, very happy. We're always looking for new members, new volunteers. So reach out if you're interested in getting involved in the movement.
And it is a movement, and it's going to be a successful one. And to wrap it up, guys, today, Rae-Anne Rose, where can we find all your stuff online, and what can we purchase?
Well, I have a lot of my art online at Rae-Anne's Clothier and Goods. The website is www.pittsburghpng, but it's spelled PGHC. And Andy G. The headbands, I have a lot of old albums, but everything's done by hand, and you'll definitely stand out if you wear anything that I have on my site. So check it out. That'd be great.
It is great.
It is great.
It's already great. Let's make it greater. Right, Michael?
That is true.
I love your Medieval Times shirt, by the way.
It's a good place to get a show and
turkey leg.
That's why I like podcasts too, is because, you know, I have a face for radio, so I like to wear whatever I want. I got my boat gear on for later. You can wear a Medieval Times shirt.
Yes.
Dangle can wear his short shorts. I mean, we can all rock whatever we want to wear, because it's a podcast. That's what's great about these things.
Where can we find all your stuff online, Isaac?
Oh, geez. FadedIndustry.com is Faded's page. You can find out what we got going on. Like I said, not too many events lately. Click Vodka, do a web search for Click Vodka. Cosmopolitan Diva, you can find all those social media, Country Hammer, Moonshine, and PittsburghNormal.org. Do you guys, you don't have a site yet, or do you have a Facebook page for the circus? Facebook page for the circus?
The Pittsburgh Circus Arts Collaborative, or Instagram, PGH Circus.
There you go.
That works perfect. And as always, if you like what you heard at the top of the show and the bumper music, be sure to check out thewireriots.com to celebrate our entire collection. Right? Right, Michael?
That's true.
Collection. Right. The only porn rock band in Pittsburgh, right, Michael?
That's right.
Corner of the market. And also, make sure you check out our sponsors page. Helps us keep the lights on. And guess what? Microphones break. So any support you can give us there is always appreciated. And until next time on the Steel Plaza podcast, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. And we'll see you right back here.